If you're passionate about sports and looking for a thrill, you need to check out the freshly redesigned XBet. They're calling it the last sports book you'll ever join. I've been playing on XBet, and they really do have it all. Whether odds on basketball, combat sports, or even betting on the next Bitcoin dip. And the best part is, when you win, you get paid quick. But it's not just about placing bets. XBet is a whole experience. They support athletes and sports shows just like ours, and they give back to the community with tons of free bets and cash prize contests. Did I mention they also have a casino now? Spin the slots, play some roulette, or even try your luck at the live tables, all from a mobile platform that lets you enjoy the fun on the go. Whether you're super into sports betting or curious about trying it out, you need a site that makes it fun and easy. That's why you've got to check out XBet. Sign up today using the promo code TOOLSHED and get a generous bonus of up to $1,000 on your first deposit. That's right, promo code TOOLSHED for free cash bonus to kickstart your journey. With so many great UFC cards on the horizon and the fact that baseball season is in full swing, there's never been a better time to play. Make your next bet, XBet.
Driving plays a big part in driving the local economy. It helps us all get where we're going and creates good jobs close to home. At Cenovus Energy, our refineries in Toledo and Lima are a reliable domestic source of gasoline, diesel, and jet fuel. Plus, more than 2,300 employees and contractors work for us here in Ohio. See how we're helping local communities move forward at Cenovus.com.
Hello, it is Ryan, and I was on a flight the other day playing one of my favorite social spin slot games on ChumbaCasino.com. I looked over at the person sitting next to me, and you know what they were doing? They were also playing Chumba Casino. Coincidence? I think not. Everybody's loving having fun with it. Chumba Casino is home to hundreds of casino-style games that you can play for free anytime, anywhere, even at 30,000 feet. So sign up now at ChumbaCasino.com to claim your free welcome bonus. That's ChumbaCasino.com and live the Chumba life.
No purchase necessary. VGW. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18 plus.
With Lucky Land Slots, you can get lucky just about anywhere.
This is your captain speaking. We've got clear runway and the weather's fine, but we're just going to circle up here a while and get lucky. No, no, nothing like that. It's just these cash prizes add up quick. So I suggest you sit back, keep your tray table upright, and start getting lucky.
Play for free at LuckyLandSlots.com. Are you feeling lucky? No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
Welcome to the Tool Shed, a podcast covering all aspects of fantasy baseball to help you win all of your fantasy leagues. From the MLB draft all the way to the show, we're here to help give you the edge in your dynasty leagues. Now, here are your hosts, Eric Cross and Chris Clegg.
Welcome into episode 190 of the Tool Shed with Clegg and Cross, powered by the Blue Wire Podcast Network. I'm your host, Eric Cross, and with me, as usual, is my 80 grade co-host, Mr. Chris Clegg. Chris, what's going on, bud?
Man, not much. Another day. Good to be back. A lot of baseball going on. World Baseball Classic starting. Got more prospects now playing in spring training, so a lot of good stuff. And yeah, we're here to break it all down, as there's been a lot of interesting things happening. We did pitchers, and now looking at hitters, I think there's some intriguing hitters that are flying under the radar that have a chance to really take off that you can probably get at a pretty affordable price right now.
Yeah, I love this time of year. Like the first like 2 weeks of spring training, when we see, and we talked a lot about like velocity risers and followers, and you know, with the WBC, we get a lot of extra prospect, you know, playing time. It's very fun. A lot of stuff to talk about. We'll be hitting on hitters in this episode. As Chris mentioned, we did pitchers last episode. So if you missed that, go back and check that out. That was episode 189. But before we get into this episode here, the usual housekeeping. You can find us on Twitter. Chris is at RotoClegg. I'm at AirCross04. And our show is at ToolShedPod. If you enjoy this podcast, please drop us a 5-star rating and review. We really appreciate it. Check out my Patreon for more work from me. Chris's Substack for more work from him. A lot of fun stuff on both of those channels as well. And before we get into the show, we want to say a quick word about our friends at Underdog Fantasy. If you sign up using the promo code TOOLSHED, you'll receive a 100% deposit match up to $100, and that can be used on any of their fun fantasy games, including MLB best balls, individual player pick'ems across all sports, and so much more. Sign up today using the code TOOLSHED at play.underdogfantasy.com/P-the-toolshed. I know that's going to be a problem for me, especially on the pick'em side of things. When MLB season starts up, I'm going to be on there every day. So it's a really, really fun platform. A lot of good stuff, a lot of different stuff you can do with different games. So definitely recommend going to check out Underdog Fantasy. All right, Chris, let's hop right into it now. Like, there'll be a lot of under the radar names here, but you know, we'll hit some of the bigger names as well. And starting with a very big name and a very big individual, the 6'6", 250 Jordan Walker. Always cooled down a little bit the last couple of days. When I was down there, the two games of his I saw when I was in Florida, first game, 2-for-3 with a double. Second game, 4-for-4, two home runs. There's no Statcast in that park, but I saw later on that the estimated velocity, or the distance, excuse me, was 470 on the first one. I believe it. And 450 in the second one. Maybe a little bit high, but still, it was two tanks. I had to guess the 470 one was probably 110, 111, 112 off the bat. That second one got out of the park in about 0.2 seconds. Had to have been 115 plus. I'm just guessing, but he absolutely mashed. Overall, been one of the best hitters in spring training. You know, four home runs already. You know, we've talked a lot about him, you know, but one thing I want to kind of mention or kind of get into is something I got, you know, a little bit of slack for on Twitter when I posted about it. You know, we talk about the top two, Carroll, Gunner, being in a tier of their own. And I even said that too. I think that's wrong. I think Walker is in that tier. You know, people are like, oh, well, you're saying that because of the last, you know, the hot stretch for the last couple of days. No. What, obviously, putting him kind of in the forefront of everyone's kind of mind, I thought it was good to say. But at the same time, Walker has just as much potential as those two. He's an early round potential fantasy guy down the road. And kind of the one thing that was keeping him down a little bit out of that tier for me was the fact that, all right, they're already in the major leagues. Maybe we didn't see him until midseason, but he's probably going to debut, if it's not opening day, very early in the year. I still think opening day is a distinct possibility. Again, if not, it's probably what, May at the latest. So with that proximity being pushed up now, I think he's right there. And I am definitely just all in on Walker. Like, this guy, you know, Ian Khan had a great presentation about just reading players, like their what they're thinking and like their, you know, their demeanor in certain situations. And Jordan Walker, you know, Chris has seen him too. He knows he's great. Not like in a bad way. It's a confident way. Like, he knows that he has the up, you know, that potential, and that he's gonna dominate wherever he is. So I'm all in on him. I think he's gonna be a guy that, fast forward a year, you know, Dynasty startup draft, he's probably being taken in the top 15. I think he's that good, and he's been really crushing it this spring.
He's a fun one, man. I really do think he's gonna make the team out of camp. Like, I would be pretty baffled if he didn't. You know, I don't know. I just think there's something special about this guy. And, you know, people want to find stuff to prod at all the time on Twitter, which is quite annoying, because they say, well, this doesn't matter. Yeah, it does matter, actually. And Jordan Walker, oh, he hasn't faced good pitching. It's not true. He's faced a lot of MLB pitching and has performed well. So I'm tired of the narratives where people just want to crap on players and crap on analyst takes. Like, that frustrates me a bit, because there's no need for that. If you're not reacting to something, then what's the point of spring training? Like, what are they there to do? Like, if they're not there to perform, like, Walker's got something to perform for. Walker's, if he performs, increases his chances of making the team out of camp. So, like, yeah, it absolutely does matter what he's doing. So you can say it's irrelevant that he's beating up on poor pitching. I don't really care. I think that Walker's really good. I think Walker's going to be really good for a long time. And I think that Walker's going to be the guy that makes the camp out of spring. And like you said, he stands a good chance to increase his dynasty stock pretty significantly.
Yeah. I love the whole, oh, he hasn't hit him off. Like, what do you want? Like, oh, if it's not off of Garrett Cole and, you know, Justin Verlander, it doesn't matter. Like, okay. Yeah. He wasn't facing studs, but in that game where he went 4-for-4 with two home runs, and in the middle of the two home runs was a double that was pretty loudly hit too, probably 105 plus on that one. The hits were off of, see, the home runs were off of Cade Cavalli, you know, good young pitcher. And I think the other one was off of Chad Kuhl. Oh, no, it's Chad Kuhl. That's still a major league pitcher. Like, what do you want? It's not low A, some Joe Schmo org depth guy. It's major league pitchers. And then he got it. I think the double was off of, like, Willie Peralta. Again, not a stud, but a major league pitcher. Like, what do you want? I don't get it. Like, oh, it's not off of a stud. Okay, like, you can't face studs every time out. It's not how it works, but he's not hitting these off of, again, some like 19-year-old low A guy. He's hitting them off of three major league pitchers. I forget who the fourth hit was off of. Maybe he had two off of Cavalli or oh no, the starter was Johnny Cueto. Again, Cueto was throwing 88. It's whatever, but again, major league arm. So I think the four hits were off of Cueto, Cavalli, Chad Kuhl, and Willie Peralta, or a reliever like Willie Peralta. I can't remember. But again, four major league pitchers. Walker's the real deal. Like you mentioned, he's special. Like above the talent, like some guys you just see that they have that kind of what it takes to be a superstar, stud, face of a franchise, you know, MVP caliber type of player. And I think Jordan Walker is that. Like I've said multiple times that he's can be, you know, just a smidge below J-Rod. I think he's like Eloy Jimenez with speed. I think he has a steal or two this spring already. I think he has at least one steal already this spring. So, yeah, I am – this guy, you know, I had him in the 30s in my last Dynasty rankings updates for average and OBP. Obviously, he's very good in both formats. I think he's a push-up in the top 25 for me. Like, I have Carroll right inside the top 20, Henderson right outside top 20. I think he should be, like, mid to late 20s. I think that's where he should be valued at. I think he went even higher than that in the dynasty startup I'm in right now. So, yeah, I am as in can be with Jordan Walker. All right, next one, Garrett Mitchell, guy that I've also been pretty high on for a while. But Mitchell's a guy obviously fallen down rankings due to the, you know, the hitch in the swing, higher K rate, higher ground ball rate. But, hey, Chris, Mitchell is really, really impressive so far. Trio of home runs so far, no steals to my recollection. But what are your thoughts on Mitchell? Is he rising up your rankings right now?
Well, you talk about one of the faster players in the game. So regardless of the steals, like it still means that like the power coming around is the biggest thing for me. And he's been really impressive. And I'm not going to lie, I've been down on him, but I look to take him in TGFBI and he was already gone. Like he went in the 15th round. He's really improved his stock. I feel like he hasn't walked. So that's a concern. I mean, he's got 18 at bats. He's got three home runs. Like that's phenomenal. He's got 1222 OPS so far in the spring. No steals as you mentioned, but man, the contact plus the power, like that's pretty substantial to me. He struck out five times in 18 at bats. That's another thing to watch there. The strikeouts and the no walks. So that's a really big thing. But if he's putting a lot of balls into play, he's lifting it more. Like that's really the biggest thing, that he just didn't lift the ball enough. And he's doing that better this spring. So it's got to stick. But if it does stick, then we're looking at, you know, I think a potential breakout here. So I'm buying Garrett Mitchell where I can in a dynasty league because there has been pedigree in the past. Like he's had the raw power. There's no denying his raw power. He just had to lift the ball and get to it in game. And guess what? He's doing that. And now color me intrigued.
Yeah, man. I've always been intrigued by Mitchell dating back to his days at UCLA coming out of the draft where, you know, he was a potential, you know, it's kind of like a sleeper 1-1 for FYPDs. And yeah, he has the ingredients to be a, you know, top 100 fantasy guy. Like think of it like being top 100 as a cake, and Mitchell has all the ingredients, but he's missing like the flour or something like that. Like one key ingredient, and that was the K rate and the ground ball rate. But he has the raw power to be a 20 home run guy. He has like Chris Bryant, he's one of the fastest base runners in all of baseball. Like, there is legit, like, 2025 upside here. If everything clicks, like, that is the type of player we could be looking at. And obviously brings a lot of defensive value as well. And he's going to have to hit well. Like, this has to carry over into the season because we know that he has Sal Frelick and Joey Weimer kind of, like, nipping at his heels, kind of ready to take over if he goes on a prolonged slump. But luckily that defense will give him a little bit of a longer leash than it would if he was a poor defender. But, yeah, I think that we're seeing the him finally put it all together. Maybe it's just a hot few weeks. You know, we saw him go on a little bit of a tear last year down the stretch as well. But, you know, all the ingredients are there. So he's definitely one to, you know, one to buy into to see, hey, where does this go? Is it for real? If not, you know, you probably won't have to pay a huge cost to get him. So, you know, no harm, no foul. But if it does click, if it does work out, you know, this could be a potential, like, really, really big, you know, ROI for your fantasy team. So, yeah, I'm definitely – I already have him in a couple of leagues, thankfully, and I'm trying to get him in other leagues as well. Speaking of increased power, Gabriel Moreno, Chris, a couple of dingers so far, hitting the ball very hard, a couple of hard hit balls today even, and then on Thursday when we're recording this. And, you know, there's no questioning the hit tool with Moreno. Like, this is a guy, could be a 300 hitter. Like, he's shown elite contact abilities, low K rate, but, like, we're like, all right, where's the power? And we've seen, you know, like, what additional power can do to a player's value. Like, look at Luis Arias. Man, if he was a 20 home run hitter, he'd be a top 50 draft pick or something like that. But low power, same with Moreno, kind of limited the value. But if that power's coming along, Chris, you know, let's say that this kind of sticks. Do you think he could be a top 10 fantasy catcher moving forward?
Yeah, the hit tool's that good. So I'm a bit intrigued by this, and whether it sticks or not is one thing, but Moreno's had, he's shown flashes of power. Let me put it that way. Shown flashes of power in the past, in the minor leagues, at least. He topped out. See, I wrote it in my spring training notes today. That exit velocity he had yesterday, that home run was, or that's probably a couple of days since you're listening to this, but 108.6 off the bat, 448 feet. That's pretty insane. But he's topped out as high as 112, which is interesting. I think he just has to get to it more consistently. But we're talking about a young player with that potential. So if he's getting to the power more often, the big exit velocities, then, yeah, color me intrigued because the contact skills are really, really good here. We're talking about somebody that can hit 280 consistently, which is huge out of the catcher spot. And if he gets to, like, 18 home runs, like, I think we're looking at a pretty studly catcher right here. So, yeah, I'm really intrigued by Moreno.
That might even be, like, pushing top five catcher.
Yeah.
Like,
yeah.
Especially if, well, run production kind of, obviously he's not going to steal that much, but run production Arizona, we'll see. We'll see how that lineup pans out. Might not be the greatest, but, yeah, if he can definitely, like, 280 and, like, six home runs, all right, you'll use it. Maybe he's your C2, something like that, but 280 and 15 plus, like you mentioned, which I think is, like, he has the raw power to get into that range if he just elevates more, which is something he wasn't doing in the upper minors the last couple of years, or even in his stints in the major leagues. Yeah, I think he could be top 10 and a very, say, kind of a high floor guy too. Like, that hit tool is legit, 280 plus, totally agree with that. Well, I'm very intrigued to see where this power goes, and maybe it's just a hot few games. But if he keeps elevating this spring, you're going to see his price tag go up. So he's definitely a good buy right now for in all leagues, especially in dynasty leagues. Speaking of a good buy, Michael Massey. What if I told you, Chris, that the only player in spring with three home runs and two steals so far was Michael Massey? What would you have said?
I'd probably be a bit surprised.
But at the same time, I like Michael Massey a lot. He's always, you look at his minor league career, like he's a guy that kind of flies under the radar because doesn't have big power, doesn't have big speed, but the minor league career was very, very good. Always hit for a high average. Let's see his career minor league slash line. If my computer will cooperate here, it's not, but there we go. Career minor league slash line, 294, 356, 506. In a little over 1,000 plate appearances, 42 home runs, 29 steals, only caught four times, K rate around 18%. So guy that has shown he can hit for high average contact skills are solid. You know, a little bit of power, a little bit of speed, maybe like a 15 homer, 10 steal guy. Looks like he's going to be the starting second baseman there in Kansas City. You know, he's hitting 350 this spring. Again, three home runs and two steals. I'm a fan. Like, I am, again, he's not going to be a stud, but kind of a very, like, guy that you could plug in, you know, maybe, I don't know, if he's a middle infielder. Hey, maybe if he's 270, 275, 15 and 10, that's pretty solid right there and very affordable cost right now.
Yeah, he's really caught my eye. Somebody that I think could break out. You look at the overall profile, and I really like what he brings to the table. He hit a bomb, that grand slam off Dylan Cease the other night. Yeah, he's the average is up. He's always hit for good average. He's a good contact hitter. And even the power that he displayed, like in the minors, like he hit home runs and it just didn't really back the, like, it wasn't really backed by EVs or hard hits. Just kind of like, eh, not so sure this is legit. And then what he brings to the table now, if this stuff sticks, like, I'm really intrigued by Michael Massey. Power, speed. He doesn't have to be like a massive power or speed guy to be valuable with the amount of, you know, contact that he brings to the table. His contact last year was not all that great in the majors. So I'm willing to push a bit past that and just say, like, that this is not really who he is. Because in the minors last year, we saw him have an 84% Z-con zone contact rate. In the majors last year, that dropped down to 78.9%. So he has good contact. He's always hit for good average. And if he's just like 15-15 guy, let's say he even gets to more power. Because we saw him get to more power in that last year. I mean, between all levels, he had 20. 2021, he had 21 home runs. So let's just say he somehow becomes a 22 to 25 home run bat. Like, then it gets really intriguing with Michael Massey. So, yes, I am certainly buying it. The cost isn't high on him. Like, nobody talks about this guy. So I think there's a good bit of buying opportunity here with Michael Massey.
Yeah, I do too. I think, you know, maybe a hot take, but I think there's a future, not a high percent chance, but at least some percent chance that he's just as good or better than like Andrés Giménez. Like, I think there's some solid upside there. And someone, again, you can just get for a really affordable price. Again, I'm not going to have him ranked anywhere near Andrés Giménez because Giménez has shown it. Massey hasn't, but kind of a similar guy where it's like nothing really stands out, but he knew a little bit of everything well and kind of like be like a sum of the parts type of guy as opposed to a standout in any one area. But I think he's sneaky good. And the, you know, the opportunity is there. Again, second baseman, that's his, I think, his spot to lose right now. So, yeah, I'm definitely intrigued by Massey. One of the young guys raking so far in spring training, Brett Beatty and Oscar Colas as well. You know, I think there's an easier path for Colas. Was he to beat out Gavin Sheets? That's not that hard. But Beatty's is a little bit more, you know, difficult, but off to a very, very good start to spring. Hitting for average, has a home run as well. Do you think that we see Brett Beatty in the opening day lineup, Chris?
Sadly not. He does deserve it, I think. Like, I think he's certainly best third baseman in this ready to play right now. I mean, he's been raking all spring. But I just think they're going to go with Eduardo Escobar to start the year. I mean, he was pretty bad most of last year. He had a resurgence down the stretch. But I don't see this lasting long. It's just an experiment that I don't see working out. They're paying him, what, $10 million, I think. So maybe they feel like because they're paying him, they need to play him. But I just think for a contending club, they want to put their best foot forward. And I just don't believe that's Eduardo Escobar right now. So Beatty probably begins the year in AAA, but I don't think it's long before he's up and playing every day. He has nothing left to prove at this point, in my opinion. And what he's shown so far this spring just solidifies that even more.
Yeah, I'm very high on Beatty. He should be, like, he is their third baseman in the future. But yeah, money talks sometimes. And obviously, you know, Beatty's not making a lot. Escobar wasn't a huge contract. It is still a, you know, decent sized contract for a player of his elk. So they're going to play him a little bit. But he's off to a slow start this spring. Last time I checked, he was 2 for 16, but that was a couple of days ago. I haven't looked since, but I do think we see Beatty sooner rather than later. Maybe it's a combo of, you know, some third base, some DH, some left field, maybe. Who knows? But I think they want to get his bat into the lineup. They just have so many options there because, you know, Cohen spent like a drunken sailor ever since he took over that team. So, but yeah, Beatty is a great, great buy right now. You know, not a cheap price tag, obviously, but I think there's a, you know, kind of like a back end top 10 third base profile here where he's, you know, anywhere from 260 to 280 in that kind of range with 25 home runs and solid counting stats. He's got, probably got hits like fifth or so in the lineup behind Alonso and all of them. So probably get, you know, drive in, maybe be a 100 RBI guy, add a, you know, 5-6 steals as well. Yeah, I like Beatty a good amount. He's definitely, you know, made some improvements as a pure hitter and always had that, you know, the raw power as well. So I'm definitely a Beatty believer for sure. All right, let's get this out of the way. Jared Kelnick, Chris, man, what is he up to now? Is it still, is it 4 home runs right now? I think it's, was it 4 or 5? Let me see. It is 4. Okay. 7 games as of when we're recording this. He's 7 for 19, 4 home runs, but, you know, still 6 strikeouts, hitting 368. What are you making of? I'll go to you first. Like, what are you making of this? Like, are you seeing some tangible change there with Kelenic? Are you believing in it? Or, you know, he's done this in the past. Or is it just, all right, another little mini hot streak for a still flawed player?
I'm a bit scared that it's fool's gold.
With Lucky Land Slots, you can get lucky just about anywhere.
Dearly beloved, we are gathered here today to... Has anyone seen the bride and groom?
Sorry, sorry, we're here. We were getting lucky in the limo and we lost track of time.
No, Lucky Land Casino, with cash prizes that add up quicker than a guest registry.
In that case, I pronounce you lucky.
Play for free at LuckyLandSlots.com. Daily bonuses are waiting. No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
A lot of his home runs have come on just kind of meatball pitches down the middle. And that's something he's always hit well. And I've still seen him whiffing up in the zone. That's been the major concern for him. He just can't hit velo up in the zone. And that's sadly continued. And, you know, until he fixes that, I'm just not sure that I can fully buy into, you know, what we've seen from him. It's really nice, but at the same time, I don't know. I'm just not ready to invest in Kelenic just based on spring and him hitting some bombs off some meatball pitches. So I'm kind of out, I guess, per se. Not out, but not fully buying in.
I'm probably going to surprise some people with my answer here. I am not believing in it whatsoever. It's gotten to the point where I need to see like regular season, like prolonged success and improving with the swing and miss, improving on secondaries. Yeah, like, we know like the raw power, it's good. Speed there as well. But he still strikes out too much. And like you mentioned, it's not like with him, it's like he's been facing like great quality here. This is actually something where he's not facing, you know, good pitches like you mentioned. So I don't know. I'm not buying into it. Same with this next guy, like, you know, Joe Adell as well. I'm not buying into anything with Joe Adell. It was like, oh, there was some buzz. Oh, Joe Adell has added 15 pounds of muscle. Who cares? He was already strong. That was not the issue. Swing and miss was the issue. The approach was the issue. Contact skills were the issue. Those still suck. Like you look at, I think he had the most strikeouts in spring training so far. Yeah, he's tied with Brett Phillips of all people. But so far he's 4 for 22, has 1 home run, but 12 strikeouts. I don't care. I don't care if he comes in looking like a bodybuilder. I don't care. Last time I knew, adding 15 pounds of muscle does not make you hit the ball better. Does not make you swing and miss less. So, again, Adell and Kelenic, I need a pretty sizable sample size in the regular season of them improving these issues that have plagued them for basically their entire major league career before I even think about buying back in. I guess I'm slightly more confident in Kelenic. I'm more out on Adell at this point. Again, he's a fun, he's a great athlete, obviously, you know, could be a guy that could, you know, go dominate at any point in time if he's able to fix this, but these are big issues to fix, and he has not made any real strides in fixing them yet. So I am willing to say I am fully out on Joe Adell and like 1 foot out the door doing a wide receiver toe tap sideline, you know, toe drag with Kelnick. I'm not fully out there. I'm mostly out.
Yeah. I don't want anything to do with either of them for Dynasty. Kelnick, Adell, like they're just ain't got it. And it's, I think that they are examples that have really helped me kind of evolve my evaluation process with prospects. So like knowing, you know, what these guys struggled with and how it affected them as they moved up levels has me, you know, much more observant of prospects, like, and what they also are struggling with. So yeah, I'm pretty out on Adell. Like I am really out on Adell actually, and I'm certainly out on Kelnick too, but Kelnick I think does have a little more intrigue.
Yeah, like if these guys were gas tanks, Adell would be on, he's on empty, you ran out of gas, you're on the side of the road, broken down, walk into the nearest gas station with your little, you know, 1 gallon thing of gas. At Kelnick, he's running on E and you're trying to make it to the gas station. But yeah, I have weird analogies for things, but fully out on Adell, mostly, but not fully out on Jared Kelnick. And it's gonna take a lot for me to buy back into him, more than, you know, 4 home runs. It's nice. It's not, it's better than him, you know, going 2 for 20 so far. I'll give him that, but yeah, I need to see more in higher kind of higher leverage. Let's go over to a couple of prospects that are hitting well in spring training. We'll start with Curtis Meade, 2 home runs and a double through 6 games so far, 16 plate appearances, one of the better pure hitters in the minor leagues. One of the more underrated kind of top 100 prospects in minor leagues as well. Chris, do you think, like, first off, when do you think we see Meade? Obviously with Tampa Bay, it's hard to say, but when do you think we see Meade this year? And long-term, everything clicks, what type of player do you think Meade's going to be?
Well, I didn't think they would push him, just knowing how the Rays operate. And there's been talk of them signing him to a long-term extension. So there's been talks of that, which kind of perked my ears a bit. And maybe he's up sooner than later. And I mean, if they go ahead and sign him to a deal, it's hard to imagine that he's not up with the team when the season starts. I mean, he's going to be up regardless, but if he does sign a deal, then he's probably up on opening day. Meade's highly, highly attractive player. He's really underrated, like you said. He hits the ball insanely hard, and he makes really good contact. So when I look at Curtis Meade, I'm looking at a player that can hit 280 any given year, because I really do believe in the contact skills that much, with 25 home runs. And maybe that's crazy, but I really do like the bat that much. Like, it's a rare combo of what he has. And if he's going to, if they want to sign him to an extension already, then it means that they really, really like him a lot. And that's not really the Rays way. So I'm buying in to a full extent. I have been for a while, but I think the buying window is quickly closing if you still want to get him at an affordable price. Because if he comes up and hits, like, he's going to soar up boards.
He sure is, yeah. I'm definitely very high on Meade. I think I moved him into my top 30 prospect rankings. Probably should push him even higher than that. Maybe he's top 20. But, you know, I usually struggle with comps. But, you know, one that kind of just came to mind, and I looked up the guy's stats, I think he could be a pretty similar hitter to this guy, Justin Turner.
That's interesting.
You know, Turner never really stood out, but he was a very, very good hitter. You know, he kind of came later in his career, obviously. He didn't really break out until, I think he was like around 30 or so with the Dodgers, but look at what he was with the Dodgers, like, you know, 280, 290, 25 to 30 home runs several years. I think that's what we could be seeing with Meade. Where's he wide up in the diamond? I don't know. Probably third base. Could be second base. I don't know. Maybe it's somewhere else. Who knows with Tampa Bay, but definitely love Curtis Meade, and he's still fairly affordable for being a guy that is as high in, like, in both of our rankings. But again, like you mentioned, Chris, totally agree that buying window is starting to close a little bit. So a good time to get in on him right now. Same with this guy too. I've been, you know, I've written him up a couple times this offseason. Christian Encarnacion Strand went over from Minnesota to Cincy in the, was it the Sony Gray deal or the Tyler Molly deal?
I think it was Gray.
Yeah. Okay.
I think so
they've had a few trades. Yeah. I think it was Sony Gray, but regardless, went over to Cincinnati this past year and overall 31 doubles, 32 home runs, and a .304 average in 122 games between mostly in high A, but got about 48 games in double A as well. And he is mashing this spring. 3 home runs, a double and a triple as well in 21 plate appearances, hitting, I don't know, a cool .600 with a .1200 slug. Obviously, it's very early, but he's absolutely mashing so far. Has, you know, in a neutral park, I'd say it's a low to mid 30s home run guy. Who knows, in Cincinnati, in Great American Ballpark, could be a guy that pushes 40. I call him like Baby Pete, because I think he could be like Pete Alonso. I'm not saying he's going to be Pete Alonso, but, you know, a slightly scaled back Pete Alonso if everything clicks with him. You know, obviously the concern has been a little bit of swing and miss in his game, but hey, only one strikeout so far in 21 plate appearances, albeit 0 walks as well, so that's also an issue. But solid contact skills, solid enough. And I think he'd be a .260 hitter. Great quality of contact, great bark. Could be a second half guy or something like that. Maybe the heir apparent at first base to Joey Votto. I am all in. You're going to see Encarnacion Strand rise a ton in prospect rankings this year.
I have a few concerns about him. And I'm just afraid that, I guess, spring performance has been awesome. But I feel like a lot of his dominance is just product of him just feasting on, you know, poor pitching in the minors. And that's not to discount what he's done so far. You know, last year he did spend, you know, a decent portion of the year in double A, which is a lot better than high A pitching. But he chases so much. He does. There's a lot of whiff in his game. And I feel like the more he moves up, the more he's going to get exploited with breaking balls. His zone contact is passable. Like, it's much below average. You know, he ran contact rate of 69% last year. So considering he played most of the year in high A, that's not very good. The chase rate's what really gets me. Like, it's not good. 39%.
Yeah.
I'm just afraid he's Franmil Reyes. Like, and Franmil Reyes had his flashes of being like a really good hitter, like where everybody wanted to buy in. It was like, oh yeah, like Franmil Reyes is it. And then it's just like, it just fell off so quick and he was a nobody. And that's the kind of profile that this reminds me of, is that, you know, a lot of power. He can show decent contact in the zone, but the chase just, man, he swings so much out of the zone that I can't fully buy into him because of that. And I personally might be selling him in a dynasty if I had him. Like, if there's a lot of hype around your league, like, I'll maybe look to cash out on Christian Encarnacion Strand right now.
First off, his name is way too long to say.
Yeah.
Multiple CES. Times. I mean, yeah, I abbreviate the CES in my articles. Like, that's, I feel bad for who make the jerseys for them. Like, that's to be one of those, like, either you have to make the font a lot smaller, or like one of the ones where it's like a big horseshoe that goes like halfway around the jersey. But yeah, those are all valid concerns. Like I mentioned, like, those have been the concerns with him. And, you know, this could go one of two ways. It could go that he's a middle of the order thumper that's 30 plus home runs annually, or he's a guy that falls off like a Franmil Reyes, who did have like that one good year, but now he's on like his third team in the last year and a half that he might not even make. Who knows? So yeah, I think it's a wide range of outcomes. Very valid concerns. I have the same concerns as well. I guess I'm slightly less concerned by them than you are, but yeah, this is a wide variance profile here. So could be a, you know, middle view of the thumper, could fall off. We'll see. I think this could be a big year because he'll probably start out maybe even in Triple A. I don't know.
Yeah.
I kind of maybe, you know, but regardless, whether it's Double A, Triple A, he's going to be in the upper minors this year, maybe get some major league time if he hits well. So I think this is going to be a very telling year, one way or the other, on CES to see, like, all right, which guy is he going to be? So very intriguing. We'll see, kind of see how it plays out here. Another intriguing, you know, big bat that was recently acquired by Cincinnati, Will Benson, another guy that, and, you know, he's big. He's 6'5", 230. I think he might even be a little bit bigger than that. I think he's more like 240, but I don't know. But regardless, a guy that has always intrigued in the minor leagues with that power speed blend. We're talking about a guy that had 94 home runs and 86 steals in 542 games, but up until 2022, never hit for high average. Going into 2022, his career high for batting average in a year was 38 in the, you know, former New York Penn League back when it was short season A ball back then. And that was only 238 back when he was 19 in the year 2017. So it took him a while, but hey, he hit 279 with a 426 OBP in AAA Columbus last year before he got called up to the major leagues. Cut the K rate a good amount. Got the walk rate that remained high. It's always been high, stayed high, but that K rate dropped down to, let's see, it was, get type here, 22.7%. That's not like, you know, great, but that's around league average. So compared to year before that, it was 33.5%, and that was even worse, you know, previously. Encouraging. Now in Cincinnati, encouraging, intriguing. I don't know. It's another thing where it's a wide variance outcome. Is last year's improvements with the approach for real? We'll see. But I'm at least intrigued. He's, you know, a dart throw. He's a, you know, guy that you can acquire for cheap where, again, the if it doesn't work out, you didn't pay a lot to get him. If it does work out, potential big ROI here. So I'm willing to buy into Will Benson right now. He's definitely intriguing.
Yeah, I'm actually all in on this one. He's, I mean, you have nothing to lose with him. You just drop him if he sucks.
Exactly.
But and it's passable contact rate, surprisingly. Like, you look at him and you may not suspect that he's like a not a bad contact rate, but really good eye at the plate. He doesn't chase. I mean, he ran a 14% chase rate last year in the minors. Like, for reference, like Juan Soto's like 18-19%. So kind of nuts to look at that. But so his swing rate is lower, but he is more aggressive in the zone, which is good. Like, he definitely swings more pitches in the zone. High hard hit rate. He gets to good power to the pool side. He's got some intriguing speed, and he's in a really good ballpark to hit now. And he has nobody blocking him. Like, this lineup's just not good. And there's nobody that's really going to take a spot from him, I don't think. So I think he's just going to run with it personally. And I think Benson's an intriguing power speed option that's passable in batting average. And I think you really take that. If you like Jake Fraley or if you like TJ Friedel, like, you should certainly like Will Benson.
Yeah, the opportunity is there for sure. Like, I've been taking him a lot in best balls and DCs to see, like I said, where's it go? Is last year for real? I think there's a lot of tangible improvements, and you just listed them as well. So, yeah, I've always been intrigued by him. Obviously, the size, the strength, the athleticism, always been intriguing. But now that he's becoming, you know, a better pure hitter, better approach, definitely has my attention. And this could be, you know, could be a pretty noticeable breakout this year. We'll see. But definitely got to keep an eye on him further on in the spring training, see what the playing time looks like for him. We'll see. All right, let's round out the show here. Couple of young third basemen that have solid raw power, but, you know, haven't really lifted the ball consistently enough to tap into that in games. Alec Bohm, Ke'Bryan Hayes, both lifting the ball more in the spring training, you know, hitting some home runs already. Are you intrigued by this, Chris? Are you believing in it? What are your thoughts on these two?
I am fully buying into both, and that may sound quite crazy, but I'm man, I'm intrigued. Looking at both of them lifting the ball more, like it's never been an issue of hitting the ball hard enough with either of them. But now they're getting to it and lifting the ball. And man, I'm thinking that there's a breakout in store for both Bohm and Cabrian Hayes this year. And maybe I'll be disappointed once again, because that seems to be like the kind of the case with these two. But Bohm's really intriguing from the standpoint of, like, he hits the ball hard, he hits for good average, just hits the ball into the ground. Launch angle was better last year, but that doesn't really paint the whole picture of who he was. Still hits the ball on the ground too often, and just really just wasn't making consistent, you know, line drive fly ball contact. But with the exit velos we've seen and the launch angles we've seen, I'm buying Alec Bohm. Same with Cabrian Hayes. Like, really, really sneaky, where he's like at the top of like so many like EV leaderboards, like 90th percentile, like average EV hard hit. He's up there in all of them. Yet he hit just 7 home runs last year and 560 plate appearances. It's the ball on the ground so much. And his average doesn't really represent who he is as a hitter. The best thing about Hayes is he steals base. He stole 20 bases last year. And he said he wants to be even more aggressive on the base pass this year. I mean, I don't know what the outcome is for either of them, but they're going late enough and their dynasty stock has fallen enough where I'm willing to take a shot on it and see where it goes, because I do think there could be breakouts for both of those guys here.
Yeah. And a good thing is with both these guys that they, even if the power isn't there, like they have other contributions to fall back on. Like Bohm hits for a good average, you know, solid counting stats and a good lineup. With Hayes, like you mentioned, the speed is there. So if that power takes off, like these guys could both be top 10 third baseman. Like they're already fairly close just because of how it falls off after, like, you know, Bregman and Gunner and all them. But yeah, if you see Hayes get up to even like, I'll take like 17, 18 home runs with 20 plus steals. It's a profile we haven't seen in quite a long time at this position. Obviously Joe Ram, but not a profile you see often where you can get a potential 20-20 guy at the hot corner. And Bohm, like I said, he's a good hitter, you know, isn't going to provide any speed. So he's a 4-category guy, but this could be one of those guys that's really just above average across the board, you know, 280 hitter. He could be a 25 home run guy. Good lineup, you know, if he adds more power. He already had 79 runs, 72 RBI last year. You know, gets on base a little bit more. He showed more on base abilities in the minor leagues. You know, still, you know, 324 career OBP. So maybe that's what he is. But hey, if he can start, you know, maybe get up to 85, 90 RBI with all the, you know, JT and Hoskins and Harper's back, obviously all good bats in that line. Obviously, Trey Turner there now as well. Like, would it surprise you if we saw Bohm go like 25-100 this year while hitting 280, Chris?
I don't think it would, actually. Like I said, it's really intriguing profile here.
Yeah, absolutely. So I'm definitely, I was already kind of, you know, still buying into the two of them, but I think now is real prime time to buy in dynasty leagues, because if these breakouts happen, like, you know, former top prospect pedigrees, obviously the names are there. So I think this would be one where they start hitting for power early in the year. Like, let's say they have 3-4 home runs over the first 2 weeks of the year, something like that. You're going to see that price tag really start to soar into the top 100. So yeah, definitely a great time to invest there. So that's going to wrap us up though. Thanks to everyone for tuning in again this episode. We hope you enjoyed it. Go back and check out the pitching episode as well. A lot of fun stuff to talk about this time of year. Love that baseball's in full swing. We got a lot of fun episodes in store. Got some guests lined up as well. So it's going to be a fun next few weeks leading up to spring training. Tune in again next time. We got, again, a fun episode in store. But until then, everyone take care.
Driving plays a big part in driving the local economy. It helps us all get where we're going and creates good jobs close to home.
at Cenovus Energy. Our refineries in Toledo and Lima are a reliable domestic source of gasoline, diesel, and jet fuel. Plus, more than 2,300 employees and contractors work for us here in Ohio. See how we're helping local communities move forward at Cenovus.com. Driving plays a big part in driving the local economy. It helps us all get where we're going and creates good jobs close to home. At Cenovus Energy, our refineries in Toledo and Lima are a reliable domestic source of gasoline, diesel, and jet fuel. Plus, more than 2,300 employees and contractors work for us here in Ohio. See how we're helping local communities move forward at Cenovus.com.